B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Gimel. We're going to start five lines from the top of the Omud. Zeh HaKlal, we're going back to the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Beis Omud Beis. The Mishnah says, Zeh HaKlal, the rule is, Kol Ha'oisem Melocha, anyone who does any labor on Shabbos, obviously referring to one of the 39 Melochas, U'melachdu miskayemes, and the labor he did, the work he did, is one that is going to stay that way and can stay that way and would normally stay that way, then b'Shabbos he did it on Shabbos chayev. That's the type of melacha that he's chayev. Says the Gemara, Zeh HaKlal L'Asuyei Mai. What are you trying to include with this rule? Says the Gemara, L'Asuyei Dochak Kafizo B'Kavo. If a kavo is a block of wood or block of material that's large enough that one can hollow out the size of a kav. This person, Dochak, he hollowed out just kafizo, and just three quarters of a kav. And this person is going to, in the future, make the hollow, he's going to make the receptacle even bigger. Nonetheless, since some keep it this way, some people use the size of a kafizo, three quarters of a kav, and not the whole kav, since it's enough that some people would leave it that way, it's considered as having done a full melacha, and he's chayev. Continues the Gemara. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oymir, this is going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oymir, Af hamake bekurnas, if somebody bangs with a hammer, al hasadon, I mean, he's not banging onto the work that he's actually doing. He's banging onto the metal surface that he's working on. That's also called makeh bepatish, and it's one of the melachos on Shabbos. The Chachomim say that banging with a kurnus on the sadon, on the work surface, is not considered makeh bepatish, and obviously if he's going to do it right at the end of his work, and it's the last thing he does is bang the hammer on the surface in order to smoothen out the hammer, that will be called makeh bepatish, even according to the Tanakama. But here we're talking about somebody who, whilst he's working, whilst he's banging out, whatever he's banging out, we'll see in a moment, and he's just periodically banging on the work surface, according to the Tanakama, that would not be called makeh bepatish. According to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, he would be chayev for makeh bepatish. Asks the Gemara, my Ovid, what is he doing that he's banging on the surface? What melacha is that? Rabbi Rav Yosef de Omra Tarvayu, Rabbi and Rav Yosef both explained, Mipnei she'me'amin es yodoy. He's just training his hands, he's getting used to how hard he has to bang. He shouldn't bang too hard, he shouldn't bang too softly, because he's obviously then going to bang on some material that he wants to smoothen out and straighten out and change its form. And if he bangs too much or too little, that won't be good. Since he's training his hands and preparing his hands to do a melacha, it's considered a melacha. Says the Gemara, Koshuba b'nei Rechava, the b'nei Rechava found this very difficult to understand. Elo me'ata, you're also going to say, Choza umnusa, somebody who merely observes a craftsman, b'shabsa on Shabbos, v'gomar, and he learns the trade by watching. Hochenami de Michaev, you're going to say he's chayev. Over here, what melacha has he done? He's just training his hands as to how hard he has to bang. But he's not banging on a material, he's not doing anything, he's just banging on the work surface. Elo Abaye v'Rava d'Omra Tarvayu, they explained this differently. They said, Shakein Miradadi Tasi Mishkon Oisin Kain. Those that used to pound the sheets of gold, as we've said, the kroshim, the boards that were on the walls of the Mishkon, they were coated in gold, so they would have to make very thin sheets of gold, and they would have to pound onto the gold to thin it out, and after every few bangs on the gold, they would bang the hammer onto the table. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that that is called a makeh bepatish, since he is preparing, he is smoothing out the hammer itself to be able to be used, in order that the hammer itself should not become ruined, it shouldn't have any sharp edges that would destroy the gold. And since, even though it's in the middle of the work, but since he's constantly smoothing out the hammer, every time he does that, he's chayev for makeh bepatish. Taninam Yochi, we found also a brisa to this effect. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimir, Af Hamake Bekurnus al Asadon Beshas Melocha, even somebody who bangs with a hammer onto the metal work surface whilst he's working, not just at the end of the work where he's finally smoothing out the hammer. No, he's doing it whilst he's working. He's chayiv on Shabbos. Shekein meradidi tasi mishkon oisin kein. Since the people that would pound on the sheets of gold in the Mishkan, that's what they used to do. Continues the Gemara. The next Mishnah says the Mishnah, Hachayresh, if somebody plows kol shehu, even just the smallest amount, he's chayiv on Shabbos. Vamenachesh, somebody who weeds his field. Vamekarasem, somebody who prunes the field and takes away the dry branches. Vamazarid, somebody who prunes by taking away the young shoots that may be getting in the way or weakening the tree. Kol shehu, even if he does this just a little bit, chayiv is chayiv on Shabbos. Vamalakit, somebody who gathers eitzim, the woods, on Shabbos, then it depends. Im lesakein, if he's doing it to improve the tree or to improve the field, kol shein, then it's even just the smallest amount. Im lehesek, if he's doing it in order to collect firewood, kedei levashel beit zakala, then you need enough to be chayiv on Shabbos. It's got to be that you've collected enough wood that you can cook an easily cooked egg. Hamalakit asovim, somebody who's collecting grasses on Shabbos. Im lesakein, if he's collecting them in order to improve the field, kol shehu, is just even the smallest amount. Im lebehema, if he's using it for animal fodder, kemaloi piagdi, he's chayev if he collects as much as one would fill the mouth of a gedi, of a kid. And the gathering that the Mishnah is talking about, whether it's Malakit Eitzim or the Malakit Asovim, it seems in Rashi that it's talking about that he severs it, he cuts it from the Mechubar, from its place of nourishment, it was still attached to the ground, and he wants, for whatever reason, either to improve the ground, or to feed his animals, or as we saw in the Mishnah, but he's actually cutting these grasses, or these woods, off their from the ground, and therefore is chayiv for toilish. The question is just how much he has to cut in order to be chayiv. That depends what he's doing it for. Says the Gemara, Lemay chozi, somebody who does charisha, the first words of the Mishnah, somebody who just plows a very little bit, he's chayiv. It's got to be that it's a useful melocha, it's fit for something. Just plowing a little bit, what's that fit for? Says the Gemara, chozi lebizra dekara, it's fit in order to plant a single seed, dekara, of a pumpkin, and therefore making just a very small hole is sufficient and is chayiv on Shabbos. Even though for carrying we said that you have to carry at least two such seeds in order to be chayiv, that's only because a person wouldn't carry one seed in order to plant it. But when you're actually planting, every single seed is planted in its own hole, and therefore one little hole is enough for a seed and is chayiv. To cover soga b'mishkon, we found such a thing also in the Mishkan. Shekein roi lekelach echod, they would dig a little hole, a little ditch in the ground in order to plant in it a single stalk, shel samonim, for the ingredients that they used for the dye. They would have to plant whatever herbs they needed for the dyes, and just a single seed could have been planted in a single hole, and therefore chayrish kol shehu is chayiv. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, hamenachesh v'mekarseim v'mezarid, which is either weeding or pruning the field, that he's chayiv on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, we saw in a brisa, hatoylesh ulshin, if somebody plucks a plant called ulshin, vamazarid zrodim, or if somebody prunes reeds, and the truth is that reeds have three different stages. When they're very soft, they can be used to be eaten by humans. When they grow a little bit more, they get a bit stiffer, then they are used as animal fodder. When they grow even more, they become very hard, and then they can only be used for firewood. So the Braisa says, im lachila, if you're cutting or pruning, if you're plucking or pruning these vegetations in order to eat them kegregris, then the amount you have to pluck is the volume of a dried fig, as we've seen earlier in the Masechta. Imla behema, if you're using it as animal fodder, kemloi piagdi, you have to have plucked as much as you need to fill up the mouth of a kid. Imla hesek, if you're using it for firewood, kedei levashel beitz or kala, you need enough in order to cook a beitz or kala, which is an egg, which is very easily cooked, and it doesn't even have to be a whole egg, it has to be an egg that's the volume of a dried fig. Imli yapis, and if the reason that you are severing these plantations, you're plucking or pruning the fields, the wood, is in order to improve the land, liyapis as a karka, then kol shehein, then even the smallest amount is chayev on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, otu kulu loy liyapis as a karka ninu. It's very good that if you have the intent to improve the land, you're chayev even on the smallest amount. But if your intention is l'achila, to eat it, or to feed your animal, or as firewood, then the Brisa said, you need to pluck much more before you're chayev. In those cases, are you not improving the land? Rabbi Rav Yosef de Omru Tarvayu, Rabbi Rav Yosef explained that the Brisa is talking about ba'agam, in a swamp, and swamp shonu, we learned, and in swamp land, there's no need to improve the land. Abaya Omar, afilu teima basode. Abaya says, even in a regular field, de lav agam, which is not a swamp, ukegoin deloy komachavan. It's true that when you're plucking a regular field, even if you're doing it to eat or to feed your animals, etc., then you are actually improving the land. But since it wasn't your intentions to improve the land, therefore you're not chayev. And the Brisa says, liyapis is a karka. If your intentions was to improve the land, then the shiur is the minimum, is even the smallest amount. Asks the Gemara of Abaye Varava de Omri Tarvayu, do not both agree that Moider Reb Shimon bipsik resha v'lo yomus? Does Reb Shimon not agree, even though Reb Shimon says that if you didn't have the intentions to do a melacha, that you're not chayev, but if the melacha that you did, if the melacha that happened without an intention had an inevitable consequence, then even Reb Shimon will agree that it's got the same melachas as if you had the intentions of doing it, you'll be chayev. And over here, if you cut down these reeds, even to eat them, the fact that the field is being improved is an inevitable consequence, and you should be chayev even for the smallest amount. Loi, says the Gemara. We're talking about where you're actually cutting down from the land of your friend, and if you cut down the land of your friend, then it's much worse, it's much further removed from your intentions than just not having an intention. And this is quite complicated, it's not clear in the Rishonim exactly what the pshat is here. In one pshat, this is called loy nichale. I have no interest in it. It's not just that it wasn't my intentions. I actually have no interest in it because it's my friend's field, it's not mine, and it's not somebody who I have particular love, that person, that I want to improve his land. Or Tosfos says it could be considered a melacha she'ina tzricha legufa. Either way, the Gemara is clearly saying that if it's not in your field and you're doing it in somebody else's field and you really couldn't care to improve his land, then in that case we wouldn't use the rule of psik resha, and therefore you're only chayev for the smallest amount if you had the intentions of improving the land. If not, then the measure is going to be depending on whether you want to eat it, whether you want to feed your animals with it, or if you want to burn it. Continues the next Mishnah. Hakosef shtei oisyos, if somebody writes two letters, bein biyaminoi, bein bismoiloi, either with his right hand or with his left hand, bein mishem echod, irrespective of whether the two letters are the same letter, two alephs or two bases, bein mishtei shemois, or if it's two different letters, an aleph and a base, bein mishtei samonios, if you're using different types of inks and different ways of writing down the letters, becholosha, in any language, it can be aleph, base, gimel, it can be ABC, chayev, in all those cases, you're chayev. Omer Rabbi Yosi says, lo'chivu shtei oisyos elo mishum roshem. The truth is, this melacha is not kosev necessarily, it's a roshem, it's making a sign. That's called roshem. Shekein kosevin al kroshi mishkon leida eze ben zugai. In the Mishkan, where did they write? they would make a sign on the beams, on the boards that were used in the Mishkan, in order that when they reassemble the Mishkan, the walls of the Mishkan, they should know each plank next to which other plank it went, so that the sequence of the planks and the position of the planks were the same every time they built the Mishkan. And there they didn't necessarily write letters. They could have just made a mark on where two beams, where two planks meet each other, just to know which planks are next to which other planks. You do not even need letters. And therefore, any type of symbol that you use, even if it's not a letter, is also called Kosev on Shabbos. Omer Rebbe Yehuda says, Motzinu Shem Katan Mishem Godel. Sometimes we find a small word is actually part of a larger word. For example, Shem Mishimoin. If somebody wanted to write Shimoin, it had five letters. He intended to write the five letters, he just wrote the first two letters, Shin Mem. Shin Mem in its own right could be a word on its own, Shem. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you wrote two letters or part of a melacha, even though you intended to do the whole, a larger amount of the melacha, and you did just a bit of it, since there is relevance and since there's chashivos in those two letters, then you also chayev. Umi Shmuel, or the word Shmuel, also the first two letters are Shem. Noach mi Nochir, the word Nochir, the first two letters spell the name Noach. Don mi Daniel, God mi Gadiel. In all these cases, the first two letters are a name, or for that matter, it could be any word, as which is a word on its own, which is happens to be the first letters of a larger word that you intended to write. Even though you intended to write the whole word, and you only did part, you're chayev according to Rabbi Yehuda. Continues the Gemara. Bishloima, says the Gemara, Bishloima ayimin, regarding the right, when you're writing with your right hand, lechayev mishum d'derech siva b'kach. I can understand why you should be chayev if you're writing with your right hand, because that's a normal way of writing. Elo asmoil amai, the Mishnah said you're chayev even if you write with your left hand. Why should you be chayv if you write with your left hand? Ho'ein derech ksiva b'kach. It's not normal to write that way. And when doing a melacha in an unusual fashion, you're not chayv on Shabbos. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah says, b'iter yad shonu, we're talking about a left-handed person. A left-handed person will be chayv if he writes with his left hand. Says the Gemara, v'tehev esmoil didei ki yamin dekuli alma. If it's a left-handed person, then his normal way of writing is with his left hand, and his right hand is an unusual way of writing. He should be chayev only if he writes with his left hand, not if he writes with his right hand. So, and the Mishnah that says that you're chayev bein b'yaminoi, bein b'smoiloi, seems to be we're talking about a single person who's chayev irrespective of which hand he writes. Who's that referring to? Elo Omer Abaya explains, b'sheilet b'shtei yodov. We're talking about a type of person who either uses both hands equally, or at least is able to write normally with both his hands. That type of person, if he writes with either hand, he's going to be chayev on Shabbos. Rabbi Yaakov Bereidu Bas Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Yaakov, who was the son of Bas Yaakov, the daughter of Yaakov, and his father, the father of this Rabbi Yaakov, is not mentioned for reasons discussed elsewhere. He explained, "Ho mani Rabbi Yosihi." The part of the Mishnah that says you're chayev with your right hand or with your left hand is actually following Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosi says in the Mishnah, "Da'omar lechayvu shtei oisyos elo mishum roishem." He says that the essence of the melacha of writing is actually making a symbol, making a mark. And that, to make a symbol, you don't need to be right-handed or left-handed. Even a right-handed person who did it with his left hand can easily draw a symbol. Letters, writing, he can't do with the wrong hand. But since the main issue is symbols, is making a mark, which is what they did on the kroshim in the Mishkan, then so too, it makes no difference if it's the right hand or the left hand. Asks the Gemara, V'hamida Sefer Rabbi Yosi, Reisha Lav Rabbi Yosi. Since the Mishnah itself introduces Rabbi Yosi later on in the Mishnah, can we not assume that the beginning of the Mishnah is not Rabbi Yosi? And therefore the part of the Mishnah that says, Bein b'yaminoi, bein b'smoiloi, would not be Rabbi Yosi? Says the Gemara, Kula Rabbi Yosi, the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi. And we have other examples like this, where a Mishnah is a certain author, and his name is only mentioned in the middle. And Rashi in Chulin Daf Kuf Daled explains that the Tanna who wrote the Mishnah realized in the middle of the Mishnah that he should really be mentioning and quoting the name of the author of the halacha being learnt, and therefore in the middle of the Mishnah, the Tanna mentioned the name. But in truth, the whole Mishnah could be that same Tanna. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Motzinu, Rabbi Yehuda says the end of the Mishnah, that we sometimes find a small word as being part of a larger word that he intended to write, and he's chayav for writing that small part of the big word. Elo Rabbi Yehuda shtei oisyos v'hein shnei shemois huda mechayev. Shtei oisyos v'hein shem echod le mechayev. If you look at all the examples brought in the Mishnah, you've got Shem of Shmuel or Shimon, Noach of Nochir, Don of Daniel, God Migadil. The smaller words are each comprised of two different letters. Can we assume that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you found a two-letter word where the two letters were the same letter, that were part of a larger word, but could also be a word on its own? Are you going to suggest that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not going to be chayev on Shabbos? Because all his examples are two different letters? V'otanya, this seems to be contrary to Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa. The Braisa says as follows. V'oso achas, the Pasuk says that a person has to do a full achas meheino, he's got to do one of them. Yochil achi yichtev kol Hashem, I may have thought that you have to do everything you intended to do in order to be chayev. That's what it means. But also, achas meheino, the whole melacha you intended to do. And therefore, you'll only be chayev if you wrote the whole word you intended to write. Shimon, Shmuel, etc. Va'achi yeri kol habeged, then if you intended to weave an entire garment, you only be chayev if you actually wove the entire garment. Va'atche yase kol anapo, or if you're trying to create a sieve, you're only going to be chayev once you make the entire sieve. Talmud leima me achas. That's why there's an extra mem to say that even if you just did part of the melacha, you're all a part of what you intended to do, you're also chayev. Since it says me achas, I may have thought, even if you do the tiniest part, maybe you're chayev, even if you just wrote one letter, or if you wove just a single thread, or if you only did the very first knot in preparing for the sieve. It's complicated what procedures they did to make a sieve. Rashi explains it, but either way, we're talking here about doing just the very first part of preparing the sieve. That's also going to be chayev. Talmud Leima, that's why it says achas. It says that it has to be some element of fullness, of completion in the part that you're doing. Ho ketzad. So how does this play itself out? You're only chayev, not if you write one letter, but you also don't need to write the whole word you intended to write. But if you have to, you're chayev if you wrote a small name, part of a bigger name. Shem mishimoin umishmuel, noach minocher, don midaniel, god mi gadiel, as we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Here Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with the Tanakama. And he says, "Afilu loikosav elo shtei oisyos v'hein shem echod." Even if you write two letters that are the same letters, but they are used elsewhere, chayev is going to be chayev. Kegoin sheish, meaning six, it's part of a longer word. There's a word that starts, which Rashi brings, mishesh botzar, or misheshach, sheshomim. Rashi brings the words where we find these two letters. Teis means to give, from Tisra'u, Titnu, Ror, which is to ooze, Gag, a roof, Choch, a bracelet. All these are letters that are part of larger words, but they also comprise a word on their own. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yochayev, even then. So you see here clearly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need that the two letters are different letters, and that's contrary to what it seems to say in the Mishnah, that the examples Rabbi Yehuda brought are those that are of two different letters. But and the Gemara is going to get back to this question soon. In the meantime, we're continuing the Braisa. We've seen the Tanakama, we've seen Rabbi Yehuda, and now Omer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa is the third opinion in the Braisa. V'chi mishum kaisavu chayev? Is he chayev for writing letters, regular letters, and then you have a discussion if they can be the same letters, different letters? V'aloyeinu chayev elo mishum reishim. The main chiyuv is when making a symbol. Any two signs, any two symbols. Either you make one sign across two beams, or you make two single signs, on one beam, either way, Yuchai for Roshim, Shekein Roshim in El Kroshia Mishkon, because they used to make a symbol on the boards of the Mishkon, Leida Ezehu Ben Zugoi, to know which board stands next to which other board. Lefikoch Sorach Svita Achas, if you make a single scratch, a mark, Al Shnei Nesorim, crossing over two boards, Oyishtei Sritois, or two scratches, Al Neser Echod, on one board, Chayev, you'll already be Chayev. And we can take it for granted that any two letters, even if they're not part of a word, they're not Shem Mishimoin, nor are they Sheish or Teis. It's just any two letters, even if they're never used on their own. They know it shouldn't be any worse than a symbol, and you should be Chayev on Shabbos. So the Chofetz Chaim seems to learn this. The Braisa continues with the next Tana, Reb Shimon Oimer. Reb Shimon says, V'oso achas. The Pasuk says, we mentioned before, V'oso achas mehena. V'oso achas. Yochel, I may have thought, Ach yichtoiv is kol Hashem, that you only chayev if you write the entire word you wanted to write. Ach yeri kol beged, or until you weave the entire garment you wanted to weave. Ach yah says, kol anape, or you've created the entire sieve. Talmud Loima, that's why it says in the Pasuk, Me achas, from one of them, it doesn't have to be a whole melacha, it can be part of what you intended to do. Says the Gemara, the Braisa, Im me achas, if you're chayev, if you do just part of what you intended to do, Yochel afilu leikosa velo is achas, maybe you'll chayev for writing even just a single letter, afilu leorag elochut echod, or if you weave just a single thread, afilu leosa lebayis echod benapa, or if you only prepare the first hook when preparing the sieve, Talmud leima achas. No, the Pasuk says you have to do one of the melachas. So there has to be some element of completion or some element of value in the bit that you've already done. Ha ketzad. So how does this play itself out? The amount you have to do is the amount that would endure. That's an amount that in other places it has some level of completion on its own right. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi comments, V'oso achas meheino, V'oso heino. That means the Pasuk says, V'oso me'achas meheino. It could have said, V'oso achas, and that's it. It could have said, V'oso heino. And you did them. It says, also achas and also heino, and not only that, it says me'achas meheino, an extra mem. So we really have four things we can learn from. V'oso achas, v'oso heino. Just from the achas on its own, before we get to the mems. The achas and the heino. Sometimes you're chayev for doing a melocha. Sometimes you're chayev for doing the melochos. Heino is them. Pa'omim shechayev achas al kulon. Sometimes you're chayev just one chatos on all of them. Or pa'omim shechayev al kol echos ve'echos. Sometimes you're chayev on every single one. And the Gemara is soon going to explain Rabbi Yossi. But we've come to the end of the Braisa. K'tonim mio, getting back to why we actually started with this Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda mentioned in this Braisa, afilu leikosav elo shtei oisyois vehin shem echot chayev. Even if you wrote two letters that were the same letter, you're chayev. And this seems to contradict the examples Rabbi Yehuda brought in the Mishnah, that the two letters that we're talking about are two different letters. Says the Gemara, loikashya, it's not a question. In one of the places, it's his own opinion, and in one of them, it's his Rebbe's opinion. The Tanya we saw in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Mishum Rebbe Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of his Rebbe, Rebbe Gamliel, Afilu leikosav elo beis oisyos vehim shem echod chayev kegoin sheish teis ror gag choch. And that's the bright Rabbi Yehuda mentioned in this long brisa. That was not his own opinion. It was the opinion, he said, from his Rebbe, Rebbe Gamliel. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going to explain some of the difficulties in that brisa we just learned. Reb Shimon, Hainu Tanakama. Reb Shimon, who says, that he says, you learn out from Achas and from Haino, that in order to be chayv, it has to be enough of a melacha, then elsewhere it would have endurability, it would stand. And that seems to be the same as the Tanakama, the same as Reb Yehuda that was mentioned earlier. Reb Yehuda, which was mentioned before Reb Shimon, says that any two letters, even if they're the same two letters, but as long as elsewhere they are used as a word on their own, is chayev. And that seems to be exactly the same as Reb Shimon. V'chi teima, says the Gemara, are you going to say the difference is Aleph, if somebody writes two letters Aleph from the word A'azercho, Ikubinayu, that's where they're arguing. The Tanakama Sova, the Tanakama hold, which is Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, Aleph, Da'azorcho, Loi Mechaev. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Aleph of A'azorcho, you're not Chaev, because it's not a word on its own. Rabbi Shimon Mechaev. Rabbi Shimon Sovar, Rabbi Shimon will say that you are Chayev, because he says that as long as Kiyetzebo Miskayemes, that elsewhere they are used. So they're not used as a word on their own, but they are used elsewhere. Where? Kiven de Asya Begelturi, since they are used in some of the emulets that people would write, and in emulets people would often write sequences of letters or lists of letters, even though they don't really comprise words that make sense. And Rav Shimon will say that since they are used elsewhere, you'll be chayev. Aleph is never a word, but in an emulet you could find it, so you'll be chayev. Kiven de'asya begalture be'alma. In common emulets we find an aleph. And therefore chayev, says the Gemara, that can't be. The memra de Rav Shimon lechumra, that would mean that Rav Shimon is being more machmir than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be a word we recognize elsewhere. Rabbi Shimon says it has to be a sequence of letters that are used elsewhere. So that means Rabbi Shimon is being machmir. Rabbi Yehuda will say aleph is potur. Rabbi Shimon will say chayev. Votani we learned in a brisa. Hakoideach kol shu, if somebody drills even just the smallest amount, chayev is chayev. Vamegarir, if somebody scrapes either the pole or scrapes some parchment, kol shu, even the smallest amount, Hama'abed, or if somebody tans some hides, kol shehu, even the smallest amount. Hatzor, if somebody engraves bekli into a vessel, into a utensil, tsura, any type of design, kol shehu, even the smallest amount, is going to be chayev. That's the Tanakama. Reb Shimon Oimir, Reb Shimon says no, Reb Shimon here is being makel. He says, Achi kadeach is kuloi, you have to drill the entire hole you wanted to drill. Achi igar is kuloi, you has to be that you wanted, that you're only chayev if you scraped as much as you intended to scrape. Achi abid is kuloi, and until you've tanned the whole hide you wanted to tan. Achi yitzer kuloi, until you complete the entire design you wanted to carve, to engrave into the utensil, only then you're chayev. So you see Reb Shimon is being machmir, and you have to have completed whatever you wanted to do. So it cannot be that Reb Shimon here is being more machmir. Reb Shimon is makel here. It can't be that in the brisa Reb Shimon is more machmir. Elo, the Gemara explains Reb Shimon in the brisa as follows. Reb Shimon ha'osa lo yishminon, Reb Shimon is coming to teach us a chiddush. Ad sheyichtei v'sashem kulei. Reb Shimon says you have to write the entire word. That's what it means. It needs to be that an entire word that you intended to write, and is when you want to write such a word, you write the whole word. That's how much you have to do to be chayev. Asks the Gemara, "Mi motzis omris achi? Can you say that Reb Shimon is coming to tell us that you have to write the whole word?" V'otanya, we learned in a brisa. In this brisa, Reb Shimon Oimer, read the words of Reb Shimon at the beginning when he starts. Va'oso achas yochil ad sheyichtev es Hashem kuloi. Reb Shimon starts with saying, I might have thought that you chayev only if you write the whole word, etc. And then Reb Shimon said, Talmud loima, that it doesn't need to be the whole word. It's enough if you did just So you can't explain Reb Shimon means you have to write the whole word. Says the Gemara, Toritz ve'ema hochi. Explain Reb Shimon as follows. Yochel at yichtoy v'saposu kuloi. When you start reading Reb Shimon, he doesn't mean I may have thought that you have to write the whole word you intended to write, and the chiddush is that two letters is enough. No, because that's the same as Reb Yehuda. What Reb Shimon meant to say is, I may have thought you only chayev if you write the entire posuk that you wanted to write. And the chiddush is, no, you don't need to write the entire posuk. You only have to write ad sheyase melocha shekiyetze bozem iskayemes, that you have to write enough that you've done something complete, and that means a complete word. But just part of the word, you will not be chayev. Talmud lo imameachas, you don't need to write the whole pasuk, but you do have to write the whole word you intended to write. That's the opinion of Reb Shimon. Continues the Gemara, that we saw in the Braisa, Reb Yosi Oimer, v'oso achas. You did one of the melochas. V'oso heino, the word heino means you did them, which means you did a number of melochas. Sometimes, even though you've done a number of averus, you're going to be chayev a single korban chatos. And sometimes you chayev for each one. Reb Yosi b'Reb Chanina, my Talmud Reb Yosi. Reb Yosi b'Reb Chanina is trying to explain how did Reb Yosi actually explain the pasuk? How did you read the pasuk? He explains as follows: achas. It could have said achas, but also achas. Me achas. Not only do you have the word achas that's telling us something, the extra mem is teaching us something. Heino, it could have said, but also heino. The word heino is teaching us something. Me heino, the extra mem, is also teaching us something. So there's four things you can learn here. So it goes as follows. Achas shehi heino, veheino shehi achas. That means besides for achas, heino, me heino, you can learn achas me heino. There's a one, which is them, which is many. And there's heino, shei achas. There's many, which is one. Says the Gemara, and we're going to explain. Achas, if it would have said just va'oso, achas, you did one of the melochas, one of the isurim of Shabbos. Shimoin, you wanted to write. Shimoin, you wrote. Shimoin, you did everything you wanted to do. You chayev. Mem, the me achas, that you did part of what you wanted to do, is shame mishimoin. As we saw before, if you wrote just two letters of shimoin, but those two letters stand on their own elsewhere, you're already chayev. Heino, when it's talking about them, you're chayev for doing them, ovois, telling us that you're chayev chatos if you transgress on Shabbos, b'shegig, one of the primary melochas. Mei heino, the extra mem of heino is coming to teach us, toildois, that even the derivatory melochas are also chayev chatos if you do them on Shabbos. Achas shehi heino. Where do we find that achas, you did one chilul Shabbos, but you are going to be chayev many chatois? It's talking about zodin Shabbos. There was all of one Shabbos. And you were amazed about Shabbos. You knew it was Shabbos. But shigigas melochis, you were unaware of the fact that you're not allowed to do all these different melochis. So even though it's a single Shabbos, it's achas, you're going to be chayev for heino. For each one of the melochas you did, you're chayev v'chatos. Heino shehi achas, where have you got that a person did a number of melochas, he did them, and nonetheless we look at it as one, he's only going to be chayev one chatos. Shigigas Shabbos v'zodin melochis. You knew that all these melochas are also on Shabbos. You forgot it was Shabbos. So you did many, many melochis. Heino, you did them. But since your mistake was just one, you forgot it was Shabbos, therefore you're only chayev achas. So from these two words, achas, meheino, we actually learn six things. Achas, meachas, heino, meheino, achas, meheino, and heino, meachas. And those are the six halachas that we learn, and that is pshat in Reb Yosi in the Braisa. Continues the Gemara, Omer Reb Yehuda, we saw this in the Mishnah, Reb Yehuda says, motzinu shem koten mishem godil, that if somebody writes a small name that's part of a big name, yochayev. Says the Gemara, mi domi, mem de shem sosum, mem de shimoin posuach. If somebody writes Shin Mem, intending to write Shimoin or Shmuel, and he stops with Shin Mem. So till now we said Shin Mem means shame, meaning a name, or Shom, meaning there. So you're chayev because it's two letters that stand on their own. The Gemara says that if you look carefully, it's not true. When you're writing Shmuel, the Mem is an open Mem. When you're writing Shem, it's a final Mem, it's a closed Mem. So the letters Shin Mem with an open Mem are never used in that sequence on their own. Omar of Chizda, Rav Chizda explains as follows: Zoy Seimeres Salsum Vasoi Pasuach Kosher. It seems from here that if you wanted to write a word that needed a final Mem or any final letter, and you wrote it with an open Mem, not a final letter, if you did that in a Sefer Torah, Rav Chizda says, from here we can see, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be chayev. The Sefer Torah is going to be kosher. And therefore, since writing shame as a word on its own can be written even with a mem that's not a final mem, therefore Shin Mem of Shimoin is also considered a word on its own. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to ask a brisa from here, that it's clear that if you write a Sefer Torah and you write the word shame with an open mem, that it's not going to be kosher. Contrary to what Rav Chizda just said, Meisvei, Uchsavtem, the Pasuk says when you write, you have to write Uchsavtem, you should write them. Shateik Siva Tamo, the word Uchsavtem can be broken up to Vachosav Tam. The word Tam means perfection. When you're writing a Sefer Torah, or Tefillin, or Mezuzos, they have to be perfect. What does that mean? What level of perfection is the Braisa expecting from us? Shalo yichtov alfin ayinin. The letter Aleph and the letter Ayin in the Sefer Torah have certain similarities. Make sure not to get confused between them. Ayin and alfin, don't confuse an Aleph with an Ayin or an Ayin with an Aleph. Basin, kofim, a base and a kof have similarities. Don't confuse them, kofin, basim. Gimin, Tzadin, Tzadin, Gimin, the Gimel and the Tzadik and the Sefer Torah have certain similarities, don't confuse them. Daltin, Reishin, Reishin, Daltin, the letter Dalad and Reish have certain similarities, make sure not to confuse them. Heyin, Chesin, Chesin, Heyin, the Hey and the Ches are also similar. Vovin, Yudin, Yudin, Vovin, a Yud and a Vov are similar. Zainin, Nunin, a Zain, and a Nun Sofi, a final Nun. Nunin, Zainin, they also are similar. Tessin, Peifin, Peifin, Tessin, the letter Tess and the letter Pei also have similarities, don't confuse them. Kfufin, there are some letters that are bent, like the Kof, the Pei, the Tzadik and the Nun. And Pshutin, and the final letters of those Kof, Pei, Tzadik and Nun are called Poshut, they are straight out, they're not bent. Don't confuse them. Pshutin kfufin. Make sure that the letters that have to be bent are bent, and the letters that have to be straight are straight. Memin samchin. The final mem and the letter samach, samchin memin, also are very similar. Don't confuse them. Stumin psuchin. Psuchin stumin. When you have letters like the mem, the regular mem is an open mem, and the final mem is a closed mem. Don't confuse them. Parasha psucha lo yaseno stuma, stuma lo yaseno psucha. A type of paragraph, a parasha in the Torah that has to be left open, make sure you don't close it. A closed paragraph, make sure it's not open. And the differences can be seen in the Sefer Torah when you look at the amount of space and the positions of the spaces after different paragraphs, then you can see which is a pasuach, which is a sasum. Kosvo Keshira, Shira, the songs in the Torah are often written Ariach al Gaba Leveno, a wide line, and on top of it a shorter line, a wide line, a shorter line, like bricks in a wall. So if you write the whole Sefer Torah like a Shira, Oisha Kosav is a Shira Kiyotzebo, or if you write a Shira like the rest of the Torah, just regular lines, Oisha Kosav Shloi B'Dyoy, if you write the Sefer Torah not using Dyoy, the right ink, Oisha Kosavas has Koris, Bazov, if you write any letter, and even if you're writing the letters of Hashem's name, trying to glorify Hashem's name, writing it in gold, you're not allowed to do that. Hare Elu Yignazu, in all these cases, the Sefer Torah is posel, you have to hide it away, and you're not allowed to use it. So you see clearly, Stumin Psuchin, Psuchin Stumin is posel. So how can you suggest that you're allowed to write an open mem in the place of a closed mem, and a closed mem in the place of an open mem, and therefore writing shin and open mem, yuchayim on Shabbos, because you could have written shame in that way and written an open mem instead of a closed mem. The Braisa says you can't write a Sefer Torah that way. Says the Gemara, Hu de Omar ki hai Tana, Rav Chisda, he is holds like the following Tana. The Tana we learnt in the Braisa, Rav Yudah ben Baseira Omer, Ne'emar b'sheini, on the second day of the Korbonos, it says, V'niske hem, with the final mem. B'shishi, on the sixth day, when it speaks about the Korbonos, it says, V'niske ho. It's talking about on Sukkos, the Korbonos of Sukkos. On the sixth day, it doesn't say V'niske hem, it says V'niske ho, with a he at the end. B'shvi, on the seventh day, Kamish potom, it says with a mem at the end. So, Hare mem, yud mem. The second day has a mem, the sixth day has a yud. The Gemara is obviously not darshaning the hay at the end, it's the yud hay at the end, and the mem on the seventh day, and that spells out mayim. Mikan remes, from here you see a remes that nisuch hamayim min ha-teira. Because you won't find explicitly there's a mitzvah of pouring the water on Sukkos on the Mizbeach. Where do we find a remes to that? From here, the v'niskehem, v'niskeho, and kamish batom, you see mayim there. Omid de pasuach v'asoy sosum kosher, you see here that we've got v'niskehem, the first mem, niskehem, and in the remes we use it as the first mem of mayim. So you see that a closed mem is being meramas to a mem which is an open mem. Sosum nami, sosum v'asoy pasuach, kosher. So too, in our case, says Rav Chisda, if you have a what's supposed to be a closed mem of shame, and you write it open because you're trying to write Shmuel or Shimon, it's also called kosher in the Sefer Torah, and therefore it'll be chayev on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, mi domi, how can you compare the remez of mayim to the mem shame of Shmuel? Pasuach v'asoy sosum, when you have the regular mem of mayim, and when it's written in the Torah, it's written as the mem soifi, the final mem of v'niskehem. So that's a regular mem of mayim that's written in the Torah as a final mem. There, ilui komailile, there you've upgraded the mem. The Omer of Chisda, because of Chisda said, mem v'samach shebelucha is b'nes ho yo'imdim, that the only letters, that means of the two mems, the final mem, the open mem, which one was already existed in the time of the Luchos, was inscribed in the tablets, was the final mem. Because it says that the mem and the samach, they were in the Luchos, they were carved into the Luchos, it was a miracle how they would stand. Why is it a miracle? Because the final mem is a full square, and the entire stomach of it obviously didn't fall down, because then it wouldn't be a mem. If it would have fallen out, it would just be a hole. It was obviously hanging in mid-air, like the center of the samach. Therefore, it's a nes. So the very fact that Rav Chisda says that the mem in the luchos is the one that was a miracle to be in the luchos, it must be the final mem is the one in the luchos. But the regular mem wasn't in the luchos. In the time when the luchos were given, there were no regular, the five letters, that final letters, the ones we had were only the final letters. And therefore, since they were in the luchos, it's an upgrade. And therefore, to write mayim with a mem, final mem of niskehem, that's an upgrade. But to downgrade the final mem of shame by writing an open mem of shimoin, that would be possible. That wouldn't work. Elo sosum vasoi pasuach, but a closed final letter that you write to open, griya komegarilo, there you're downgrading it. And that's why maybe it will not be good enough. And therefore, Rav Chisda cannot even bring proof from this braisa with the remez of mayim. The Omer of Yirmi of Yitemir of Chia bar Abba. And how do we know that only one of the sets of letters were in the luchos? Because it says in the braisa, it says, Yirmiyah said in the name of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Mantzapach, these letters, Mem Nun Tzadik Peichof, Tzoyfim Omrum, it was something the Nevi'im introduced much later. And we know that the Mem Nun Tzadik Peichof, it's a set, it's a pair. There's the regular Mem, and there's the final Mem, the regular Nun, the final Nun. These all have final letters. And we just said now, that it must be the final letters that were the ones that were in the Luchos, because they were Benes Oimdim. And it must be that the regular open letters, they were the ones that were later introduced. And therefore, they were not in the Luchos, and therefore it's a downgrade. So, answers the Gemara, there's no such thing. Both letters already existed in the time of the Luchos, and they were both in the Luchos, the middle letters, the final letters, and therefore there's no upgrade, downgrade, and the same way as the Mem of Mayim can be written with the final Mem of Niskehem, so too the final Mem of Shem can be written with an open Mem of Shimoin, and there's no problem with it. Why can it not be that only one set of these letters were in the Luchos and the other were introduced by the Nevi'im? The Tisbara, I'll tell you why they can't be. V'oksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Eile ha-mitzvois, that these are the mitzvahs that have been given to you, and there are no more mitzvahs. She'ein ha-novi rochshoi lechadish dovor me'ato. From the time the Torah has been given to Moshe, a novi cannot introduce new mitzvahs. So the novi cannot introduce new letters. The letters we have are the letters we always had. Elom mihava havoi. Both letters were there. The final letters and the not final letters, they were all there from in the Luchos. Meideloy avayodin, hai be'emtza teva, hai be'soif teva. Just, we didn't know which ones were in the middle and which ones were at the end. Va'osu tsoifim, and that's what it says. Rebchia bar Abba said, mantzapoch tsoifin omrom, that was the Nevi'im called tsoifim, they said it. It wasn't that they introduced those letters. They just clarified which ones go in the middle of the letters and which ones go at the end of the letters. Va'osu tsoifim tikninu, and they established where the letters belong. Says the Gemara, Vakati Eila mitzvahs she'ein novi roshoi lechadish dovah me'ato. From the same pasuk that a novi cannot introduce a new mitzvah, nor can they establish where letters should go. Where letters should go is part of the Torah. That's not something the Nevi'im can establish. Elo, says the Gemara, shachachum v'chozur v'yostum. It was known always which letters were where. At some point in time, and the Rishonim discuss how this could happen, at some point in time, they just forgot what it was that was always established, and the Nevi'im just said that what always was that these are the final letters and these are the letters in the middle of the words. But they didn't establish anything new on their own. And either way, we see that in the Luchos, both letters were there, and therefore there's no maila of one letter over the other, and therefore if Chizda can learn from this brisa with the Remez that you can interchange a final letter with a regular letter, and therefore Shem of Shimoin is called writing a full word. Continues the Gemara, Gufa, Omer of Chizda, Mem v'samach shebeluchos b'nes hayu oimdim. Rav Chizda said that the final Mem and the Samach, they were written in the Luchos, they were standing in the Luchos as a Nes. Omer of Chizda, Rav Chizda said, Ksav shebeluchos, the writing in the Luchos, Nikro mibifnim v'nikro mibachutz. It went straight through from one side to the next. That's why it was a miracle that the center of the Mem and the Samach didn't just fall down. Kegoin, Nevoiv, the word Nevoiv, which is not a word written in the Luchos at all, it's a word written elsewhere. When it's read on the other side of the Luchos, it was Bubon, and these are the letters that are written back to front, mirror writing. That's what happens when you see it from the back. Rahav, Bahar, Soru, Voros. And these are just examples of words. Tosfos and Rashi point out that they were not in the Luchos, and Tosfos doesn't understand why the Rav Chizda brings these examples. He should have brought examples from the Luchos, but either way, it was written, it was read, it was inscribed and carved straight through, etched straight through the stone, and looking at it from the other side, you would see the same letters in mirror writing. In Mirtz Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.